Statements and opinions by guests of Mysterious Radio are not to be considered as endorsed by sponsors or affiliated networks.
Get ready for a night filled with conspiracies, strange places, the paranormal, UFOs, legends, and myths from around the world. With your hosts, K-Town, on Mysterious Radio.
All right, I want to thank you for joining me tonight. You're listening to this, and that makes you an exclusive VIP member. I am your host, K-Town, and I have a great show for you tonight. You may have heard about these special people that hypnotherapists all over the world are confirming that when they regress these people, they are remembering not living here on Earth, but on other planets. These vivid memories are especially prominent in children, and they remember some astonishing things about our planet and about what star systems they actually come from. Some of these children have incredible psychic abilities as well. We are going to hear about these amazing people from my special guest, Mary Rodwell. She has detailed her research in her new book titled The New Human, Awakening Our Cosmic Heritage. That book is available for purchase through our new book club called The Book Maiden. And you can find that link on the Mysterious Radio website. And also check out what other books I recommend as well. Join the club while you're there if you love reading, okay? Now, you know what time it is. I have an amazing show just for you. Mary Rodwell is a professional counselor, hypnotherapist, ufologist researcher, and metaphysician. Mary is founder and principal of Australian Close Encounter Research Network, or ACERN. Tonight, we discuss her research into families and children as they share their stories of encounters with non-human intelligences. Are these non-humans assisting humanity to evolve into a new aware species? Welcome, Mary Rodwell. Special guest Mary Rodwell with me tonight to discuss her book and her research into what she calls the New Human Awakening. It's called The New Human. Mary, I want to thank you very much for joining me on Mysterious Radio.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
It's my pleasure, actually. I've been fascinated with these children ever since I've actually heard one of your interviews on another show, and I knew I had to have you on Mysterious Radio. I want to ask you, I really find this subject astonishing that these children are having conscious memories of past lives and some of the most extraordinary psychic abilities. How did this cross your path?
It's a very good question. And because I've previously been known for my work with mostly adults, individuals globally, the interesting thing for me was that they were very aware that this was an intergenerational experience. So if you've had contact or encounters yourself, it's most likely not only were your parents or one of your parents or one of your grandparents have had these but not known what they are, but also the children seem to have them as well. But not only that, they seem to be a lot more aware and a lot more conscious of their experiences. And it was intriguing to me when I discovered this, that how did they manifest their experiences, or how did they understand them in contrast to their parents or their grandparents? And often they'd say, oh, you know, I had a grandmother that was pretty psychic or a little bit weird, they would say, you know, so maybe there was something going on there, which to me is absolutely obvious. But what was particularly clear was, and very initially puzzling, was that a number of these children were considered dysfunctional in 3D reality or 3D society. Many of them were very introverted or very empathic, very psychic, struggling with 3D programming and what have you, and were often diagnosed as ADHD, Asperger's, some forms of autism, and dyslexia, for example. And I thought, well, if these beings that are interacting with us are doing a form of upgrade, why on earth would we then get what appear to be dysfunctions? What I then really explored is these dysfunctions, as they're called, and found out they're only dysfunctional in a 3D reality. They're not dysfunctional multidimensionally in terms of their psychic intuitive experiences. They're actually far in advance of the rest of us who are a little bit more switched off. So it's only because they struggle with the limiting and limited 3D reality. And we have, you know, or society should say, or mainstream, not understanding this, have then said, oh, well, they've got issues, socializing issues, or they don't see the world we do, so there's something wrong with them. And that's really how it came to me that we needed to look at what the new human was. And how do we know that these children are different? And primarily, it's because of what is appeared to be the dysfunctions.
Now, let's talk about the astral realm. And I've heard that some of these autistic children are believed to be somehow removing themselves from their body, their consciousness leaving their body, and they are interacting with other children in the astral realm. What have you found out about this?
Oh, a great deal. A lot of these children are quite aware that they may go with these different intelligences on other craft, physically or sometimes astrally, and they're quite aware of the difference. But what's fascinating too is they're learning to work in that realm in a way that we would find quite extraordinary. And that means that they can not only see extraterrestrial beings, but interdimensional ones, extra-dimensional ones, hyper-dimensional ones, and possibly beings from our future as well. This is, you know, not straightforward. It's extremely complex. But when you have a nine-year-old who I spoke to only a few weeks ago that was not only explaining to me that he speaks a language, a light language, or that we call them star languages, to his mother. He's all of nine. His mother apparently can answer him in the language, but only he can interpret it. But not only that, he told me that often he is aware of these lower entities or energies, you know, some of them shadow beings or jinn. And he says he knows how to deal with them. And I sort of laughed and said, so, you know, they're really like you learn to deal with interdimensional bullies. And he said, oh, yes. He said that taught me how to deal with them. And now when I go to sleep at night, I will go out of my body. And if any children are being attacked or have nightmares with these beings, I will deal with them. Now, this is a nine-year-old not only being aware of interdimensional beings, but also having the awareness to actually deal with them physically and out of body. And he's not the only one. I was talking to a young eight-year-old some months ago who, you know, her mother does a lot of active work in this realm in terms of putting the information out there. And she was talking quite casually about the jinn, these interdimensional entities that can attach themselves and cause problems for people, particularly if they're on their spiritual path. And she told me quite bluntly that she can see them. And when her mother's, you know, when they're trying to attack her mother, and she will deal with them. There wasn't any problem about that. She knew how to deal with these beings. And so we've got the children that are very comfortable with working both physically and multidimensionally with a lot of these other lower forms of intelligence, or more, we call them more self-serving types of beings. But this is the awareness of these children.
So Mary, these abilities and this contact or the types of contact they're having with these beings, this is a generational thing.
The generational thing is absolutely appears to be a very classic pattern. For those that have had contact, One of the questions I will always ask them when I've sent out a questionnaire is, are they aware of anyone else in the family that might have had these experiences? And I'm looking at mum or dad or grandparents, etc., but also down to the children, but also siblings. Because what has been very clear is this is often a family affair, even if the siblings don't want to hear it or the parents don't want to hear it because it's confronting or they're aware on some level that this is relevant to them and get frightened. So they may go into denial or tell the child not to talk about it. But it really is often part of the family genetics in what appears to be most cases, for sure. That's certainly what I'm discovering with my research and the research that I'm doing with another organization where we're doing the surveys like this. Only theirs is a lot more in depth, and this is the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial and Extraordinary Experiences. The surveys that we've done through this, 600 questions, you know, nearly 4,000 people, we're discovering important patterns of this experience that are helping us to understand how people relate to this experience, how they understand the outcomes of the experience, whether or not other members of the family are having the experience, etc. I have focused my particular attention not only on what appears to be something that ufology doesn't, you know, the nuts and bolts of ufology so far has never given us any answers. In other words, you know, it's shown us the reality of the craft. It's shown us, you know, the fact that, you know, there are ground traces, or that there's been implants, or there's been witness testimony, or whistleblower testimony, but it's never given us any real answers as to why they're here. The great thing with working with the other side of the experience, which is their multidimensional experiences, we are getting an understanding of what they find out on the craft, what they experience on the craft, and how they completely change their way of how they live after these experiences. And for many, you know, they say, oh, well, surely it's all traumatic and it's all scary and they're being abducted. Well, actually, what we're discovering is quite the reverse of that. Although there is a percentage, you know, 10 or 20% that feel like that, the majority, 85%, have found that their experience has changed their reality, their experience, their paradigm in a very spiritually enhancing way. Now, this is going to come to be a big surprise for a lot of people that don't realize. But, you know, the evidence that we're getting through the surveys is quite, to me, it's astounding, because what it's really showing is how people change after this experience in an extremely positive way. And, you know, this is what we're now putting together, because I think it's important that people realize there does seem to be a program through these many intelligences, certainly a majority of them from what we can gather, that through these encounters and experiences and what happens to people through them, it changes them on every level, both physically, emotionally, mentally and spiritually, so that they find they want to live more holistic lifestyles. They find themselves being drawn to healing, for example, become more empathic. Often they have a upgrade of intelligence. They have downloads of physics and scientific information. They have downloads not only of the reasons why they're having these interactions, but their connection to these beings as well. And this is what we're discovering through these incredibly detailed surveys. And we're going to be putting that all in a book next year, hopefully, with all the data, with working with a statistician who is actually going to help us put this all together. But my point is that it's definitely intergenerational. And what we're seeing with the new children is what I believe an upgrade. And this is not just myself that's saying this. I've got information from two molecular biologists that are saying the same thing. And what they're basically saying, this is a new human. And we are misunderstanding that, because we're seeing it as an, you know, as they're dysfunctional in some ways in our society. They're only dysfunctional because their reality is multidimensional in nature.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I want to ask you if you think that they have been incarnating since, I would say, I don't know. The reason I'm asking this is because now autism has skyrocketed in the last 10 years. is what significance does Asperger's and autism have with these starseed children?
It's an extremely emotive one, and there are lots of different theories around it. And in my book, The New Human, I go into great depth because I think it's time that we reappraised how we understand some of these so-called conditions that have been seen as, again, genetic faults or aberrations and what have you. I have connected with not only a number of individuals, investigators, researchers, and therapists in the field of autism. And what we have discovered with autism, and what the public still doesn't know, that many autistic children are telepathic. And the reason they behave that way is because they're often tuning into the thoughts and feelings of those around them, which, of course, when you have to understand that they are taking in far more data than the 3D individual. And there's various clues and statements I've made in my PowerPoints to explain this. One young lady we call Carly was explaining one of the reasons that she struggles as an autistic person to look at someone is that when she looks at someone, she gets downloaded 1,000 images of that person in the one time. Now, you just think of that information overload that she's trying to deal with that we don't understand. But the research that I'm coming across is that what they're discovering with a lot of these autistic children is that they are telepathic. So we have to understand then that when, you know, you get maybe frustrated with them or get angry with them or whatever, they will pick that up and they will then mirror that. So we've got to look at a whole new way of how we approach children that appear to be telepathic. But they also have some incredible abilities too and can be savants. We don't yet understand how that fits in, but it appears that their brain is wired differently. What we need to do is understand how it's wired differently by talking with them and working out how we can best approach them. The bottom line is, you know, Asperger's is another form of autism, highly intelligent, usually almost savants themselves in many ways. One of the interesting things with the autistic person is that they are supposedly not able to socialize. Although an autistic person many years ago said to me, "Mary, I can tell you that amongst ourselves we have no problem. It's only when we try and socialize with those coming from the masks of the way that society operates, we can't deal with false masks and false behavior because that's not how we operate. We're looking for authenticity." Now, if you think about it, we as a society have all these masks that we put up because this is how you behave, isn't it? So it's showing us more of that we need to be more authentic. So there's lots more that go, even with the Asperger's, they're able to perceive more things than we do. And with ADHD, that's a classic one where I was, my first clue to what that meant was a gentleman in Hong Kong called Neil Gold. And Neil told me that he only found out he was ADHD when he was in his 50s, but he always saw reality differently in a more multidimensional way. He could say, "I can make sense of chaos. I don't know anyone else who could see reality the way I did. And I didn't understand it." But what he finally wrote about in his book, Close Encounters of the ADHD Kind, was that this really was a way that they access the greater reality or the multidimensional reality. And he's retranslated ADHD as always dialed into higher dimensions. What we're not realizing is because they don't seem to be able to concentrate, seem to get very bored very quickly, is that we're slowing them down if you like, we're forcing them to go in slow motion when their brains are actually wired to a multidimensional universe. So that, you know, what do? We stick Ritalin down their faces and we slow them down so they can operate in an old paradigm, which is 3D, which is not our true nature. Our true nature, I have come to believe absolutely, is being multidimensional. And they're the new ones. They're showing us already where we're going. And they're, if you like, the forerunners. And they're called crystal children, rainbow children, children of light, crystal, indigo children, etc. But what was a problem with those labels is, although it was showing different behaviors, it wasn't actually taking in the extraterrestrial component of these intelligences that are assisting this process of what I believe is an upgrade in human consciousness.
Do you believe we are in a transition to a new Earth or some type of higher consciousness?
I absolutely do believe that we are in this amazing transition of consciousness right now. And the evidence is in the enormous numbers of people that are contacting me on a daily basis. This isn't, you know, a few emails once a week, as it might have been 20 years ago when I first started on this path of, you know, supporting people with experiences. What is happening now are emails every single day of people writing to me saying, what you're talking about, what you're presenting is my story. And there's an interesting part with that, and that is that a lot of the 3Ders have been activated, if you like, for want of a better word, in the last few years. And sometimes, even though some will see this as, you know, almost after all the 2012 people thinking that something was going to happen then, well, I think something did happen. But it happened on a frequency level, which has been activating many people, because in the last few years, they've said, I went from 3D to multidimensional in awareness around that time, 2000, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago or whatever. So something definitely happened then, but it was not in the way perhaps we expected. It was about people being activated or having this frequency shift. And from that time, their lives have completely changed. The numbers of people that I've spoken to that had, you know, professional lives, doing extremely well in 3D, their lives have been turned upside down through an activation. And one of them that I wrote about in The New Human, in my book, you know, last year, was a medical doctor. And I've written about that she's become. She went to India a few years ago after the death of one of her children. And what happened was she had this incredible activation through frequency and now has become a shamanic healer. So there she is, a 3D doctor now, a multi-dimensional healer that works on activating DNA. And this is what she does now in her practice in Melbourne. So she went literally from being, you know, a very conventional doctor married to a surgeon, very traditional, conventional life, doing very, very well in 3D, to now going into a whole new way of understanding us as a species and consciousness itself. And she's not the only one. Dr. Lena Olsen, molecular biologist in Sweden. I've got several statements from her. She calls herself a letter person, which is autism, you know, Asperger's, ADHD, a mix of all of those. She said, I'm a mix of all of that. And I also am aware that I have more sensitivity in terms of feeling in my skin. I have a broader sense of color, for example, beyond the normal spectrum. Hearing is a lot more sensitive, and she's very aware that her hearing is more sensitive. And as a scientist, she knows and has been able to test the differences to norm to herself. And she basically in recent years has come out of the space closet, as I call it, and admitting that she's an experiencer. She calls these new ones the letter people or a quantum. And she said, and it's nothing to do with faulty genes. It's to do with an upgrade of humans. And these are the new ones. And this is where we're all going ultimately, you know, even though the children are particularly awake, they already have the, you know, parts of their dormant DNA switched on. This is why they can remember things like their past life on another planet. They will talk about to their parents, as many of, you know, I write about in the book, where they told their parent, you know, you were with me on a water planet, don't you remember? Or you were with me in a crystal city, don't you remember? I've come in because I have something to do. You know, it may be to do with healing of the planet, healing of animals or people. It may be to do with an ability to control elements. As 1 8-year-old told me, she has the ability to control the wind and clouds. She said others can control different elements. They are very precognitive. They can pick up information that's going to happen in the future, either near future or further down the track. they are able to look at you and know whether you're telling the truth or not. Many of them appear to be, without question, telepathic. And I've had parents write to me and tell me, you know, my daughter's been telepathic with me right from birth. And actually finding that quite confronting to know that your child is picking up your thoughts. Because as one lady said to me, you know, it's very hard to control your thoughts all the time, knowing that your daughter or your, you know, your son is picking up the information. So what they're forcing us to do, if you like, as the older models of human, is they're forcing us now to be authentic, forcing us to not only, you know, to walk our talk, if you like, because this is part of how we are shifting in consciousness into a new awareness. And as some would say, the new earth, and the children talk about the new earth as well.
You talk about these children that are coming in contact with a non-human intelligence. Can you share more about what they say about these beings?
Well, they see many types. I don't know in terms of your listeners, you know, the common ones that are put out time and time again through the media are either the greys, the tall whites, or it may be the reptilians or the Dracos, and humanoids are sort of the standard ones. Well, what I'm hearing from not only the children, but the adults, there are so many different intelligences visiting us, from crystalline beings to almost one's almost a rhinoceros like type being that I came across recently, energy beings, apart from light beings or energy beings are a common one as well, plasma beings, interdimensional beings that will, you know, you can't see any form whatsoever. All sorts of humanoids, from not only this particular 3D reality, but interdimensional beings that are coming in that aren't, you know, that aren't physical, but can appear so to people. So we're talking about this huge range of intelligences, you know, blue beings that's from, I think it's Andromeda are blue and Arcturus are blue beings. So we're getting this huge range of different types of beings that are, or intelligences that are visiting the planet. And often the child and even some adults will say, my family, and their family may be from another dimension. Like a little 10-year-old explained to me that he came through a portal in the sun, and that's where his real home is, in another dimension. So they're very aware that their first interaction often is with the beings that they were connected to in another lifetime. And so they're even taken back to their planet of origin and explained where they're from. And that's why many of them feel like this isn't home. And will say, even as a small child, there's so many people tell me that they will say, I want to go home. This isn't home. I feel like I've been adopted. I don't belong here. This doesn't feel comfortable for me. And there's a huge sadness or a huge grief that they feel, that, you know, because they don't feel they're connected. And what seems to happen sometimes when they're really struggling with being here on this planet or being a human is that sometimes they will be taken by their family of origin or their star family, if you like, back to their home, back to their planet, to actually help them cope with the feeling of loss, the feeling of being away from everything that made sense to them. So these children feel the same. They will say, I'm not from here. They will say that my star family, and the star family may be what they, you know, we would call imaginary friends. They will say, you know, that either they're a member of my star family or they're one of my guides, as one 9-year-old drew two of her guides. One of them's a blue being she calls Emoko, and the other one is a little green being. And she says, they're with me all the time. They teach me things. They show me how things work here. But they also help me understand, you know, what's going on the planet, et cetera, et cetera. So many of the children are aware of presences around them. They'll sometimes see them as orbs or orbs of light. And they'll know that they're protective. For example, one 9-year-old told me that her little brother is protected by a blue orb energy being that looks after him so he doesn't have accidents. And interestingly, the mother sent me a video of the little boy, and you can see a blue orb with him. You can actually see it on the video. So when people say to me, you know, this is all too weird or strange, or how can I believe it? There is an awful lot of tangibility to thousands of people and children who don't watch this on talk shows, don't read books about it, but have an innate knowledge of themselves and this kind of material and this kind of information. It is extremely compelling. And I love to hear from the children because I feel that they haven't yet been programmed out of their awareness if they're under 10. And some of the concepts are quite complex, from an 8-year-old telling me that when he's attending school on spacecraft with a couple of his school friends, he was talking about how he uses his consciousness and he is taught things through his consciousness. And some of it is very complex, he told me. And so I said to him, can you explain to me some of the more complex things that you're taught? And he said, no, because it's too complex. In other words, I wouldn't understand because it's too complex. Now, this is an 8-year-old describing that to me. So this is what I'm talking about. This is what we seem to understand is the children have a way when they're in that space and taken to these, what I call the space schools, their intelligence quota or their consciousness is actually able to take on complex subjects, including physics, the origin of the species. That one young girl was taken to a planet, shown how to use her third eye, shown how to levitate, and then was shown genetic engineering between species. All of 8 years old, this is what was happening when she was out of her body, being taken to be taught things in these space schools and cosmology, you know, a whole, in fact, even taken to a wormhole and shown what was inside the wormhole and also a black hole. And she described what she saw in both those different, cosmological, what we understand cosmologically, and explaining what they were like. So we're not talking about simple things here, you know, 2 and 2 makes 4. We're talking about complex understandings of our reality, cosmology, origin of the species, higher physics, free energy, healing techniques, levitation, precognition, clairvoyance. All these are things that are enhanced and they are assisted to understand so they can operate multidimensionally.
Amazing. This is amazing. Mary, we have to take a quick break. We have Mary Rodwell, and we are discussing her book, The New Human. You can pick it up at Amazon.com. And we have more for you coming up right after this. Chatting with Mary Rodwell about her new book, The New Human. Is this contact happening throughout their childhood and into adulthood?
It's a very good question. And I believe that even those that think it's only just started in the last few years, or they've seen a UFO for the first time and then start to realize maybe there's something else going on with them, and they think that's the first time, I believe that, to be honest, most of them appear to have had a lifelong contact, even though they're not aware of it. And I think there's a time where perhaps in terms of their own personal life journey that they, you know, will be prepared to be activated or be ready to be awoken, if you like, into their multidimensional awareness. And the fact that, you know, when I've done hypnosis with those that have had missing time over an experience or have wanted to just find out more answers, 9 times out of 10, I will say to them, you know, when did you have other contacts when they're in that trance state? And they'll start with a baby going to 2 or 3 to 5 to 7, and they'll actually reel them off. So there's no doubt in my mind that with each person, there seems to be this ongoing interaction. And even those that have felt that they've only been picked up, if you like, for their genetic material, because some of them have felt that that's been there to create the hybrids, for example. It doesn't seem to be just that. They will still have interactions when they're in their 50s or 60s or 70s. And that is because there's so much more going on than just a genetic program.
Okay, so you said hybrids. Are you saying that hybrids are being put in place, or how are hybrids being used?
I think hybrids has got a lot, for a lot of people, a kind of negative connotation. But my understanding is that not only are hybrids created, as one eight-year-old was telling me, where they go and seed other planets in not just this dimension, but other dimensions as well. So there's an ongoing program of the mix of different species. My understanding is, and there's a number of sources that I put in The New Human about this, that we maybe have at least 12 inserts of DNA from various species that are interacting with us today. So we all have a little bit of them, if you like, as well as the indigenous humanoid that roamed this planet earlier on. So with that, then, we're, you know, technically we're all hybrids, and there's enough evidence from whistleblower geneticists. One of them I quote a number of times that came across the fact that there was evidence in our DNA of splicing and how we've been genetically engineered. And I've written quite detail about this in my book, because I think it's really important that even Dr. Francis Crick, co-founder of the DNA molecule, in his book Life Itself, talked about us as being genetically engineered by or coming from space. So with that, there are others that have mentioned this, not only the children, that they're aware that they've got these genetics, which is really important. But as I say, there's two, there's a geneticist that seem to talk about this. Dr. Crick also talks about this as well. What the children are also saying is that as we, those that call themselves hybrids are resonating more to their hybrid self than the rest of us. We're more switched off to all those extra different, if you like, inserts of genetic material from these beings. So we don't necessarily link to that. But as our frequency changes, as one young man in my book called Zach, he explained it to me really, really well. He said, as we become activated and our frequency changes, we then start to activate those other parts of our DNA that are, you know, the star aspect of our DNA, those different intelligences that we're interacting with. We start to resonate to those frequencies. And as we do, we start to connect to a particular frequency, might be a gray, or it might be a Pleiadian aspect of our DNA, or it might be an Arcturian or one of those. So when somebody says, oh, well, I think I'm Pleiadian, that's the frequency that they're resonating with in their DNA that they've got to, that part of the Pleiadian part of themselves. So they start to then feel very profoundly connected to the Pleiades, to their Pleiadian heritage. And you're getting more and more people around the planet now that are saying, I'm from Arcturus, or I'm from another Orion, or whatever it is, or I'm from another dimension or whatever. So I, from what Zach, this young man in his late teens, was telling me, it's because as you awaken, you start to then activate those parts of our DNA that are not indigenous human, but are in fact our star heritage. So that's how I've come to understand the feeling of being a hybrid. Some are really connected to that and really struggle with being even their human self or whatever. But a lot of people seem to also have a fear of that. Oh, so they're hybrids, you know, are they coming to take over the planet? Look, there's the to me, that is ludicrous. All that I'm getting from those that are having these feelings of being a hybrid is that they're bringing in the best of both, the best of the indigenous and the best of that particular star seed that they're connected to. And this is how we're going to start to interface in the way that they've described it. And Meet the Hybrids is a book that a lot would find useful to read, because these are stories of people that talk about this. And in Meet the Hybrids, they're saying it's more of an interfacing, creating a better interface with the galactic community, which is waiting for us, because we are now at a point, obviously, of going into becoming galactic ourselves and becoming spacefaring. We need to know and understand our heritage and also be able to communicate. So a lot of the telepathy, a lot of this connecting to our genetic heritage, our star genetic heritage, is allowing us to interface in a better way than we can through our, you know, the way that humans normally interact is verbally. But this is another level of giving us the interface to connect with them. And many of those that are saying, you know, I talk to the beings and what have you, they're talking to the beings. They're already reaching a frequency which allows them to have a communication with the different beings that they're interacting with. And why should that not be the case? You know, we haven't yet really discovered our abilities and what we can actually be and achieve. And as we get more activated, and I talk about that as well, that there is evidence that even science is finding that, you know, they're finding another a DNA strand of a young child in it called Alfie in England. And I mentioned this in my presentations, where he's got another DNA strand, which they can't work out how on earth this has happened. And then they're also finding some children now. Initially, they found it out in California of children that seem to be immune to everything because they've got 24 codons switched on instead of 20 like the rest of us. And with that 24 codons switched on, they seem to be immune to everything. So what we're seeing is there is evidence to back this up. This isn't airy fairy. You know, this isn't us wanting this to be that way. One thing that I would like to state is, you know, that I've needed to explore qualification of what the children or the adults are telling me as much as possible in terms of what we know, or at least what's out there. I think there's a lot more that the governments know about all of this anyway, which is a pity that the rest of us don't, more than a pity. I think it's actually really wrong that we are not told the truth, but I'm sure you know that anyway. But my bottom line is here, there is evidence to show this is actually going on. And I think it's important, even if people struggle with believing that, just go and have a look for yourself. I mean, my books have always been about encouraging people to find their own answers, to actually see for themselves whether or not this makes sense to them. But also, most important, that we trust what we sense and we feel about ourselves, because the answers are there if you're prepared to look at them from within rather than always looking from without.
Now, we're going to go back to the government here in just a moment, but you talked about activation. How do we activate ourselves or raise our vibration according to these children?
Well, there's some wonderful advice. And one of them, primarily at least with the children, is the conventional schools are not doing them a lot of good. And that's just talking about the children, because they get, as one 9-year-old told me, they get programmed out of their light and the teacher then just presses the keys. I think we all know that the schooling system should change. And that's just a whole new part of this. But the way that these we can raise our frequencies is when we start to trust ourselves, when we start to trust that sensing, that knowing, that resonance to truth. As we start, you know, even with relaxation, meditation exercises, for example, allowing yourself to be open to more of what you don't know. As soon as we shut down, oh, I can't believe that, then we're actually shutting ourselves down from a possibility of more information. So it's about exploring as much as you can. But by being amongst people that are already awake, this is the great thing with how this works. It's almost like everyone who is waking up becomes a, you know, a satellite for these frequencies. So if you're around people that are waking up, you will find that will affect you too. There are other many ways that your frequency can be activated as well. And one of the reasons I do the presentations that I do and the way that I put them together is what I call the expressions of contact. There are people that come out with the light languages or star languages, those that write strange scripts or strange artwork, crop circles, all these kinds of, expressions of activation. All of them have frequencies, because it was interesting to me right at the very beginning, and it's never been fully acknowledged as being important, is why do people who've had encounters start to manifest, you know, these coming out with these strange languages or coming out with this unusual artwork and this kind of thing. There's got to be a purpose to that. It's not just, oh, well, they're now doing something strange. It's not only evidence that something important and significant happened in their lives, because you don't do that after a hallucination or a fantasy. You've got to do it because something activates that kind of expression. So that is one part. But my research has been very, very, I've been very curious as to why they would do all these different types of artwork, geometric forms, symbols, and all the rest of it. I've come to understand through those that appear to be able to decode this, and there are the decoders out there, and I can talk about that in a minute. But what I've discovered is when I show these things, even in my presentation, and play the languages or play show some of the scripts, an amazing thing happens with some people in the audience. They will start to get triggered. And some of them will have energy surges. There'll be others. I mean, one nurse amazed me. She came up to me after my presentation and she found herself writing this strange script after hearing a language that I'd played. So I am very aware that there is something in these expressions that activates people. The languages, there's something in that. There's something in the scripts. There's something in the crop circles. There is some frequencies contained within these expressions that are part of the activation. So the more you're exposed to these expressions, the more you are being activated. But remember, we're also acting, you know, we're activating each other, that as you become activated, you're activating others, but they may also be activating you depending on their frequency. When I spoke to a 9-year-old in the US one day, he wanted to talk to me after I'd been talking to his parent. And he said, can I speak to Mary? And I was a bit surprised. You know, I didn't expect him to volunteer wanting to speak to me. And I said, why is it that you feel you want to speak to me? And he said, well, it's because of your frequency. So this young man was very aware that whatever my frequency was, he could then share with me, because for whatever reason, it was going to be okay. But this is my point, is that they will see frequency. They will know from that frequency where you're at. Because a lot of these children have these frequencies, they're already in those frequencies. So any even parents that have a child with these frequencies, it will be affecting them on multiple levels, even if they're not aware of it. So in other words, we're activating each other as well. So it isn't just about you putting out the intent that you want to be activated, or you want to have more communication, or you want to understand more, which is all going to work on another level. Because you're putting that intent out. It's like you're putting out a radio signal, if you like, that you're ready now, that you want to be more aware, that you want to be more connected to your multidimensional nature and the intelligences out there. That is one way you do it. But another way you do it is being amongst others that are of similar frequency or a higher frequency, and just also challenging yourself to research more, to become more au fait with that other part of yourself, to start listening to that multidimensional side that resonates to truth, that side of you that has that sensing, that knowing, that feeling, all that what we call the intuition, the psi senses. The more you listen to that, the more you're upgrading yourself.
Very good advice. When I think about these children, I can't help but think about the government and some of the things that they have been said to be involved in, nothing good, mind you, but they undoubtedly would be very interested in these children. Do you believe that they could be part of some top secret government program?
Oh, I think there's absolutely no doubt that the government behind the government, call it, you know, the secret government, these intelligence agencies and what have you, are fully aware. If we are in main, you know, out there in the public, have come to understand that there's a whole covert side of the truth embargo and what have you, you'd be very naive to think that the governments aren't already aware. And I think they've been aware for a long time because they've been monitoring these children. I was talking or emailing with a 16-year-old young girl in Spain who was explaining to me how she became aware and activated around 13 to her heritage, her star heritage, very aware that even when she was a 6-year-old, she'd been visited or seen black helicopters around. She said she was also aware that they tried to manipulate her when she was in her teens to make her want to go to America and to work for the government, etc., until she realized that that wasn't her, that they were trying to influence her. We have to understand they have the technology to interfere with your thoughts. And this is, you know, part of what they've been developing for a long time. There are children that have been abducted and taken to underground bases and have been used by these covert agencies and taught various things. I've spoken to adults that have had flashbacks of themselves being taken underground. But I also tell the story of a young man, I think it's in chapter 9 of The New Human, where he describes being taken underground, explaining to me that he's sitting in a particular strange chair. By one side of him is an electronic kind of equipment. The woman standing in front of him is a human with a military suit on, black suit, uniform. And he said, I was aware, Mary, that what this technology did was it was beamed at me to lower my frequency so they could find out what I knew, but also put stuff in there. And I was able a lot of the time to transcend that and keep my frequency too high so they couldn't do it. Most of the time I was able to do that. And he knows about the children that have been picked up by the government. This is a 9-year-old knowing full well the agendas of these covert groups that want these children. And it's not for the benefit of humanity. Make no mistake here. This is for the benefit of those covert agencies wanting to use these children and their abilities. And they can tell, as this 16-year-old was very aware, they can tell by your energy signature and your frequency. So this isn't something you can particularly hide, but you need to be aware of it. And even the 9-year-old that I spoke to, you know, in Northern Europe, you know, she said, you know, you've got to be very careful because they will deprogram you out of what you understand so that you remember nothing and that, you know, you end up, you know, not being a pale shadow of yourself. And that's what. And she was really concerned with the 3D education that is inclined to do that, because it's teaching us that really the only thing we can trust is our left brain, our 3D senses, that we can't trust anything else because that's not real. And actually what that's doing is telling us to doubt ourselves, our experience and our multidimensional reality, which is, you know, classic programming, so that you then lose trust in the information that's actually helping you survive on this planet in the first place.
Oh my goodness, that makes a lot of sense for me. Unbelievable. It makes a lot of sense for me. Now, that's very interesting that you say this about the government doing things to lower the vibration, because I have heard a researcher say that the government actually triggers certain events to lower the vibration of all humans on the planet.
I think they do. And if you look at the news alone, I call it the doom and gloom show, because most of it is highly emotive. It's about murders. It's about death. It's about war. It's about all the things that actually make us feel really awful and bring up all those emotions, which, again, are fear-based. Terrorism, the whole thing is to stop you from wanting to go anywhere, not trusting anything, and actually, you know, feeling very, very, you know, losing hope. And the more that we keep in the cage, which is what it is, it's a fear cage, the less we are able to or want to break out of it, because we're afraid that something's going to happen to us. This is all deliberate, I believe, absolutely deliberate, because all the focus is on fear and it's on everything that keeps us in the box.
I totally agree with you, Mary. Have you noticed a pattern in where these children originate and like things like race?
Well, all I can say is that we can't just look on our 3D universe, the one that we are inhabiting, as far as we know, this particular universe, because it seems from what the children are saying and some of the adults that many of us come from other dimensions, even parallel universes, different timelines, and we could be operating still, even with our own, with our physical self here, parts of us could be actually operating in those other places as well. And I know that's a difficult one for a lot of people to realize, that perhaps the soul doesn't just occupy 3D their 3D human container, but could be occupying other containers and other realities, or other energy being. We could be energy beings in other realities as well. Interestingly, an 8-year-old explained to me that when he goes up on the craft sometimes, because he's very connected to the mantid or manta beings, he said they're his family. And he explains that, when he dies, that's where he's going to go. What he explained to me was sometimes he evaporates into the manta form on the craft for certain tasks, and then comes back into his human form after that. So we have the ability to move containers, even in this reality, and do different things in a different container. He's not the only one that's explained that to me. I've had others explain that they will go into another form on the craft for certain jobs that they have to do. And it may be even a little, Zeta form as a scientist, or they may go into another type of energy form to operate in certain ways. So we've got to really open our minds to possibilities, and the fact that whatever we can imagine probably can happen, and probably even more than we can imagine.
Can you share with us some things that shocked you during your research into these starseed children?
Oh, there's been so many things. I feel that what has happened to me by being exposed to this, I've realized how the complexity of it is so incredible. And if I just open to the possibilities of what it's showing me, it has taught me one important thing, that I don't know what I don't know, and I can't dismiss anything, because I don't know if that ultimately will be an important part of the puzzle. I think it shocked me. I think the biggest thing that shocked me as a human on this planet is the fact that man's inhumanity to man appears to be a million times worse than what we are attributing to these extraterrestrial and interdimensional beings. I have absolutely no doubt that we are treating us. The fact that we are being treated by our own species in the way that I see happening, in the way that we're being poisoned, the planet's being polluted, that we're damaging all these wonderful new souls that are coming in with all this awareness, because of a number of individuals through their own schizophrenia or their own paranoia or their own sociopathic nature and greed, have taken a beautiful planet and are destroying it, and destroying most of humanity for whatever purpose I can't even begin to explain. And whether or not they're being influenced by lower entities, it's quite possible as well. I think that's it. It's man's inhumanity to man is probably the thing that I really, really struggle with at this time.
Are there any places on Earth, Mary, that bear significance to these children, or that they refer to as very important to them?
I think they feel the whole planet is important, and they're all, and it's no doubt that, of course, now I'm discovering and realize that this is a global phenomena. They've all been born in different places for different jobs to do, depending on what is needed. There are places where this is a lot more acceptable, which I think is easier for star seeds. In South America, they're a lot more open to this and contacts and accepting of this, for example, whereas if you go to Europe and Scandinavia, I was horrified at how closed they are to a lot of this. Even psychic stuff, they're very close to. When a young man came to me when I was speaking in Stockholm, and he said to me that he was amongst friends, and he found himself speaking a light language, they actually called the police, and he was taken to hospital. So you've got one end where you've got some countries very, very open to this, and very accepting, as South America appears to be. And then you've got, some of the Western countries, for example, so close to it that they're seeing it as some major aberration and sickness. So in terms of places to be, I think certainly the starseeds are having a better time of it in countries where this isn't considered an illness or an aberration or a psychological aberration. But certainly, in many parts of Europe, they don't know where to go. I get emails from, Poland, Hungary, Germany, and what have you, Turkey, and they're saying, where do I go? who can I talk to that will, you know, think I'm crazy or whatever? And I think that's another really horrific thing that is happening, is that we have discrimination against personal reality, that people can't own their personal experience because anything out of the box is considered, you know, there's something wrong with you, instead of actually understanding that we all have a unique perspective of reality. And, you know, and this all ties down, buys into the truth embargo, where the public is still lied to on a continual basis about everything that happens on this planet. And they're not told the truth of our origins, who we are, and about the fact that we're being visited by a multitude of civilizations from both our physical reality and our non-physical interdimensional realities.
I think it would be very powerful to have these children share their stories on video or have them meet people in person so that people can hear, you know, what's going on, you know, firsthand from them in their own words. Are there any plans for you to do that for them, or, you know, are they going to share their experience on a larger scale? I understand that you are having these conversations with them one-on-one, but I mean, speaking for myself, I would love to hear them tell their stories.
I agree with you, but it has to be done in a way where their identity is protected. And that's very much my main mandate, with not only for them but and their parents, but because of what's out there. There is two that have come out and spoken a little bit, who are in their late teens now, that are both in the book, in my book, The New Human. One is Zach, and the other one is called Antonio. Antonio believes he's from Arcturus. He's an Arcturian ambassador, and he has come here as an ecological engineer. He speaks the light language, and so does Zach. In a documentary that's just come out by Caroline Corey called Gods Among Us, where I did an interview when I was in LA, but she also interviewed these two young men because I put her in contact with them, and they explain their experience, how they understand who they are, and even, you know, give an example of the languages as well. They both do a beautiful job in this particular documentary, and I know she wants to do a sequel. For me, I do think that the children explaining it from their perspective is very powerful, and I've got, you know, some clips now of a 9-year-old explaining his understanding, but I'm very careful that I only show him from the nose down, so that I'm protecting, you know, that the identity and what have you. So whatever is done has to be done in that way. But I do think it's absolutely powerful for them to explain for themselves rather than me to speak on their behalf, you know, because there's something about a child explaining it, and the way they explain it is unique to them. With their own language. And it's getting adults to listen to how they explain it as well, because they don't always have the language we have, but it's still saying the same thing. But that is something that I'm looking to doing.
I think that would be amazing. I would love to see that. Now, the video that you have currently with the 9-year-old, and you, you know, videotaped him, I guess, from the nose down. Can we see that now somewhere?
What you mean on, because I haven't got my desktop computer, I can't do that. I mean, I could send you a little clip, which you can add at some point if you want.
Okay, that's great. I mean, is it posted on your website somewhere where we can go to it?
No, okay. This is all new information that I've only just put. In fact, it's only first been shown just over a week ago in Sydney. I showed this young boy, actually, there's two little clips. One where he has a little bit of the language, where he's explaining about his experiences and also teaching the children how not to get caught up in these negative frequencies. He actually explains what you have to do about it. So he's like a little teacher, really. So it's the first time I've had that video to actually show. And I'm going to aim at showing more, because I'm also showing ways that we can teach and help these children with their abilities. And one of those ways is called extraocular vision, or the whole idea is to show the children how to see beyond their physical sight. And there's actually tools to show these children how to do this. And I've got a clip of children with blindfolds on, actually showing how they can see beyond their physical sight, but using their consciousness. And that's something else that I'm putting out there now as evidence of these children's abilities.
Amazing. Mary, I have really enjoyed having you on the show. I want to give you an opportunity now to tell my listeners where they can find more information about you and your book.
Well, the most important thing is that the websites are there. One is maryrodwell.com.au or acern.com.au. That's A-C-E-R-N. I've got a Facebook as well if people need to contact me. All those different ways you can actually contact me. And I will hopefully be coming to the US in October, November. I'm speaking in Sedona and also speaking in Detroit, but Miami and West Virginia, Arlington Institute. And also Boston. So there's going to be quite an itinerary, but I will be bringing all this information with me to speak at those events.
Mary, I want to thank you for joining me on Mysterious Radio.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Like the show? Get more Mysterious Radio on our website. And don't forget to visit our Twitter and Facebook page.